This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, so we are searching for Desus. Mero is there, but we are searching for Desus. We will see when we find him. But please, Christine Lisi, continue.
And finally, a group of pandas is called an embarrassment. Ironically enough, that's what you call a couple of aging South Florida talk radio hosts.
Thank you.
Well, what's up with the laugh?
Just
after,
sinister. I mean, just geez. Sinister. Now she's changing up the way the laugh is delivered.
Yes.
It's a different laugh. She's got shades and flavors with which she mocks us. Thank you, Christine. We appreciate it. I just want to get back for a second, Stugatz, to the idea that the audience, which again I mentioned, hot breath on the back of my neck,
yep,
2 minutes into that interview, make it better, make it better. I want you to imagine this person is breathing heavily. This person is sweaty. This person is way too close to my ear and my neck. And I'm just wondering, does that person think that you and I are in here saying, yeah, we got a great answer there. That was so good. We changed the way people are entertained. What James Conner just told us was so illuminating and brought so much clarity that my life is altered by the experience of having been in his presence unblinking.
Are you asking me if they think, if we think it's going well?
Yes.
People, we know it's not going well.
That's what I'm asking you. When they're,
we're paid to do this.
When they're breathing on my neck and they're saying 2 minutes in, do better. Do better. Would you like if I did that to you at your job? If I came to your job.
I mean, you do it to me occasionally.
I do do it to you at your job. Your job is what it is in order for me to do it to you. That's absolutely so. But that's the construct of what we do here. Desus and Mero have their chemistry. That's ours. It's my job to do that.
You're breathing on my neck.
So we've only got Mero at the moment, and that's okay. I'm sure he's got plenty to say as well. But their first book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx, is available now. And you can get Desus and Mero Showtime Thursdays, 11 p.m., Sundays, 11 p.m. on Showtime.
They got a book out before I did? I mean,
yes, they did.
I am proud of them.
That's correct.
I'm very happy. We are very happy for your success. Thank you for being on with us. Why did you write the book?
Well, I was inspired by a sports journalist in Miami who invited me and my counterpart on his show way back when and said, hey, listen, I run Miami. Tell the people downstairs that you can have whatever you want. And when I went down there and I ordered like 16 pounds of crab legs and I said, put it on Dan Le Batard's card, I was like, you know what? The next step is a life-changing, paradigm-shifting book that we have to put out there to help people navigate life.
Nice that you got your inspiration from Cody.
He got so many crab legs and left our studio smelling and looking like blunts because there were wrappers all over the place here. That's what they do. And I'm just curious, do you guys still film some or tape your podcast, Bodega Boys? Do you still do that where CBS Sunday Morning does what is the oldest show in America? It's a great show, but it's a very old show. And I can't imagine you guys rolling through with blunts on that particular set.
Maybe not that particular set. I have a great reverence for Maurice Dubois. You know what I mean? He's my anchor. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we put the L's down and, like, you know what I'm saying, take it a little bit more seriously. But no, you're right. It is the oldest show on television. Like, that, we went on that, and then my aunts and, like, uncles started hitting me up. Oh, hey, I saw you on Puppy. I saw you on CBS Sunday Morning right there with Maurice Dubois. That's nice. Very good. I'm proud of you, Puppy.
Your Knicks, when you're watching the Heat, do what they do, your Knicks have infuriated you how much recently?
More than I can say. Dan, I was enjoying my little cafecito right here on my porch, and now you are trying to ruin my day by bringing up the Knicks. Yeah, you've upset me. But I will do the opposite and bring you joy and tell you that the Heat are going to win in five. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just going to happen.
Okay, there you go.
Well,
look at that.
You don't have to watch.
You made Mike Ryan happy. Yeah. The first book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx, available now, Desus and Mero, Sundays and Thursdays, 11 p.m. on Showtime. I view you, I don't know why I do this, I view you as the irresponsible one. Like, if somebody was going to miss this call, I would have thought it was you. Do I, am I, what did I do?
I'm not irresponsible, I just play it on TV. Like, I got four kids, man. Imagine if I was irresponsible and one of my kids, like, I'm just go to the, I go to the pool or some shit, and then I said my kid just runs off with a stranger. That, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad look, you know what I mean? And I've been doing a lot of media training, a lot of media push-ups, a lot of media, keeping my media core tight, you know what I'm saying? And just trying to get, you know, on the right path, you know, to responsibility. I'm trying to be like you, Dan. I mean, I want people to let me wear my hat all the time.
please forgive me for doing this to you, because it is not the best thing to do to these guys. But I need you to be careful with the language, because it was bad enough that you rolled through here with blunts that you just had on television on Disney Air. But I've got to ask you to watch the language. And I hate that I've got to ask you that. I really do. But you mentioned the having of four kids. This is something that you explore in the book, right? That kids, that you got to be careful around kids, because they will not stop absorbing how bad you are at being an adult.
Yes, yes. If you're like a luxury adult, you know, don't have kids. You know what I mean? Kids are for people who are like, you know what? I want to have kids. Like, if you're, you know, if you're ambivalent about having kids, don't have kids, because they're a very serious responsibility. They're like having a show dog that has like some weird condition where you have to feed it Fruit Loops every half an hour. You know what I mean? It's a very big responsibility. So like, it's not for the faint of heart. You know what I'm saying? So my advice for kids is just, you know, they really do absorb everything you do. So you got to be real careful about what you say around your kids. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that I said around my kid that I will not repeat on the show, since it is a Disney family show. You know what I mean? So, but that's when I realized, I was like, oh no, I was like, oh, hold on. These kids are really just sponges. You know, and I explain in the book how if you think your kid sucks, it's probably because you suck, because you're raising the kid. You know what I mean? Or whoever's raising, or whoever you're, you know, outsourcing the raising of your child to sucks. So you got to reevaluate that.
The kids are also always watching. My kids are always watching. Like, what life changes? What's the biggest life change? What's the biggest change you've had to make because you have kids?
I started taking dumps with the door open just to be left alone. Like, yo, oh, you want to come talk to daddy? Yeah, come talk to daddy. Open that door. Catch the wind of that. You know what I'm saying? Are your eyes tearing up? Are your eyes tearing up? Yeah, now shut the door. Go away. Talk to mommy. Daddy's busy.
Yeah.
I don't want to pinch early.
Okay. that is one way. And
I got intestinal issues.
What do you think you're teaching them there?
I'm teaching them a very important lesson about avoiding your problems with minimal conflict. There's no violence involved. You know what I'm saying? Unless an aggressive fart is violence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no violence involved. There's no pow pow. You know, I don't know about you, Dan, but I got pow pow back in the day when I messed up. So there's no pow pow. There's no yelling. There's no, you know, and there's no corny, like, you know, listen, mister, you're going to go to timeout for 5 minutes. Because you're 5 years old, and there's a minute for every year. That's what the pediatrician said. And I'm like, man, forget that. Go and come to the bathroom while I'm taking a furious dump after I've eaten lactose.
I did get pow pow. I also, did you get chancleta?
Oh, yeah. Oh, chancleta all day. My mom was like, my mom could have won American Ninja Warrior just with the chancleta. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, I don't know. She could have been like one of the X-Men. Like, she could have, like, chancletera. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how she was able to, like, she could have been a major league pitcher. You know what I mean? If you know, the major leagues are more inclusive, my mom probably could have been on the mound and been the second to find my shot. You know what I'm saying? Just throw a chancleta.
Can you explain to the audience that might not understand, like, the discipline of the chancleta? Do you have a great story involving you and your mom throwing a flip-flop at you?
Oh, listen. American white people, listen, this is very important. Us in the Latino community have received discipline via chancleta for centuries. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what country you come from, the makeup of the chancleta is different. I know in the Dominican Republic, they're made of this material called hule, which is like a very hard rubber that you would use to make, like, I don't know, body armor or like a vehicle. and they're mad hard. And if you throw one, I feel like that's why there's so many good pitchers that come out of the DR, because they learn early on how to use aerodynamics and technique and arm movement, you know, to throw objects and get good movement. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't throw a good slider with a chancleta, you can't do it with a baseball.
Do you have a specific story that resonates with you or your memory, your friends, anything involving discipline with a chancleta?
Specifically, I remember my grandmother, rest in peace, Mamita. I was sent out as a young child in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if this is child labor, but I was sent out in high noon in flip-flops to sell an entire bowl of avocados, like a big bowl of avocados, like a chamber pot full of avocados. And then finished selling all these avocados. And came home one day, and well, there was just this one avocado that was just bruised up, and it was just like ready to, it was basically guac in the skin. And she was just like, "You didn't sell this avocado. What happened?" I was like, "Yeah, nobody wanted it. It's all bruised up." And she's like, "Man, I'll call you." What?
Oh, no.
The chancletazo flurry. You know what I mean? And then right then and there, I learned, you know what? If there's a crappy avocado in the bowl, I'm going to jump into the river before I get home.
All right, get off my neck. Get off my neck. Get off of my neck. We feel it. Get off of my neck. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We're very happy for you. God-level knowledge, darts, life lessons from the Bronx. It's available now. Desus and Mero airs Sunday and Thursday, 11 p.m. on Showtime. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Also, we have ice cream out via Oddfellows NYC. Check that out. You know what I mean? If you ever wanted to eat bacon, egg, and cheese as ice cream, Dan. Sounds interesting.
Check it out. Yeah, it does sound interesting. God, really?
That Why'd you say Dan?
Yeah, I know Stugatz is into it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's all the way into it.
Right. Felt like I wasn't here for a minute.
I got a little. Listen, I'm gonna make a little antipasto one for you. I got you.
All right. Thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Oh, we're so close to them not breathing on our neck, that segment. No. So close. Casper, we didn't notice. We thought it was a great phone line.
Especially towards the end.
We don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean? The story wasn't ruined. It was a great story told well on a landline.
I love the full peeling back of the curtain.
and Desus was incredible.
All right, so truth be told here, when looking at the macro of this radio show at this network and its relationship with the local basketball team, this show exists on ESPN with a studio built in a hotel here in South Florida because LeBron James was in Miami. LeBron James came to Miami, and he brings economies with him. As you see some of the stuff that he's doing, with like real meaningful social instigated change, where he is pouring his money into increasing the freedom of voters who, you know, have been convicted of felonies. And when he's working with Dodger Stadium to help people vote, LeBron James came down here. He made himself go from super famous to super infamous to more famous, and has dominated a decade of ESPN television, turning it in the modern age — Michael Jordan never had this — into a giant network that is largely an infomercial for his work over 10 years, because he did a TV show with ESPN that was wildly popular and set in motion, as he becomes an old guy now, set in motion 10 years of player empowerment in his sport that has been wildly entertaining to watch, that has watched the NBA climb past baseball in terms of interest because it's given so much power to the players and the transaction is so interesting. He brought that to Miami, and a decade he has been impacting this league by always playing late into seasons except for last year. He leaves Miami under circumstances that the Miami Heat felt hugely betrayed by him, feeling not unlike what Kawhi Leonard just did to LeBron in Los Angeles, where he did recruiting things that damaged the Lakers while recruiting Kawhi Leonard. The Miami Heat felt betrayed by LeBron James when Pat Riley didn't get return texts from LeBron on free agents. They assumed he was coming back, and then they felt like he was getting in the way of them being able to get a Pau Gasol or anything else, that he was actively trying to sabotage the organization he was leaving to make the East weaker as he went to Cleveland. Whether you believe that's so or not, there are people in the Heat organization that believe that that is something that is so. Now this Heat team has rebuilt itself after blood clots from Chris Bosh. That was the second cataclysmic injury in Pat Riley's tenure, okay? Because Alonzo Mourning and Chris Bosh, you can't prepare for those things. Pat Riley has been in the finals across 6 decades, 6 of them. The last 6 decades have included Pat Riley as player or coach or executive getting to the finals. And now Pat Riley is toward the very end of his career. He should have probably left a while ago. He's very rich. He made the Showtime Lakers matter. He helped make basketball matter with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Hollywood, he can walk into any Armani store anywhere in the world because he made Armani popular and get whatever he wants for free because he's one of the few people who has that arrangement with the fashion icon because he helped make him popular in the United States. Those two guys seeing each other at the end of Riley's career again, when Riley still can't talk to Michael Jordan and Larry Bird because of the scars they left all those years ago, still can't talk to him.
But he retired Jordan's jersey.
For that guy to, a joke was really super necessary there.
It was.
Let's close out the segment.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Paid that man his money.
Casper Stugatz, tell him.
I don't believe that Armani thing.
You don't?
No. Every time I call my cable company, I have to catch them up on all the notes that they're supposed to take. I imagine they got to look at a computer. I'm like, where does it say? I'm sorry. And he's like, Giorgio Armani told me that I could get any suit. I got to imagine that's a headache when he tries to do that. Right?
I fully believe it.
Hold on. I got to go to the stock room. Yeah, there's a guy here, an old guy in white hair saying that he gets any suit for free. I got to imagine that doesn't go the way that you said it did.
Where were you going with that? Was it Riley should retire after he beats LeBron in the finals of the Lakers?
I was getting to the end of the story, but you made your joke there.
Oh,
so
sorry
I had to
about
stop.
That. My bad. That's my bad. That's on me.
I am sorry, Christine Lisi. We interrupted you.
And finally, cats cannot see under their own nose. And leotards can't see under their own chin.
Which chin?
Oh, wow.
Which one, Christine? Wow. Devil, good luck. That was even more maniacal. I mean, just get out of here. Get out of here. Her laughter echoing in my ears. We've had a difficult day, okay?
Long night.
It was a long night, and then we did the James Conner interview, and he came in and he sucked the soul out of the show. You guys all saw it happen. He came in here unblinking, and all of us just that's it. We were done for the day. This is what James Conner does when you hand him the football or the microphone. He just runs right through you.
But we did do a great couple of hours before the show. I mean,
you
we
should
did.
Check yes. those out. Those are good. The Big Suey and the local hour. You should check those out. So what ends up happening is James Conner steals our soul with an athlete interview that just wrecked the show. And then I lash out in every direction because I'm a repressed, frustrated 51-year-old man still doing children's things for a living, even though I'm grown. And so I was telling the stories, Stugatz, of our existence at ESPN and everything that's happened here, where we replace Colin Cowherd and become America's most popular sports radio show, a little show out of Miami, a proudly Miami show that was never supposed to be a national show. It was just a stupid Miami thing. And it came with basketball and it was fun. And we were on the ride of the last 10 years with LeBron James at the beginning. And then he turns on Miami And Miami doesn't care the way Cleveland does. Miami gets distracted by kite surfing and cocaine and the water. And so we were like, you left. And then, you know, whatever. We went to the nightclub and it was over.
LeBron's leaving, but the cocaine is still here.
Yes, the cocaine is still here. We don't need you, LeBron.
Just to be clear, we're making Tyler Hero's 37 points last night about ourselves, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
And so... within this, I'm also not only making it about ourselves, but also a series that's not finished, the next one. I'm doing some previewing after saying for a lifetime here, we don't preview games around here. I'm already previewing a finals that we might not have.
Yeah, I think you have already put Pat Riley in the finals for a sixth decade.
Right.
This is going to be a cool story if it arrives, and it arrives in Miami for a proudly Miami show as a surprise. It's the best thing in sports. We've been starved down here for 17 years that anything that felt like this, the basketball team is the only thing that's given it to us. So here it is on the cusp again, the LeBron vibration thing. Those Miami teams of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are the greatest teams in the history of this city. The most attached in the history of this city to a team that has ever happened in Miami is that team, because it used to be with the University of Miami football teams conjuring the same feelings of, oh, wait a minute, this is us against them. These people don't like us. The rest of the country does not like what this thing is that we love. That makes us love it all the more down here because you don't like it. And now this story arrives different than that one because this is a surprise. That was expected. That bothered people because it was on a stage before it had played a game telling you how many championships it was going to win. And that's why you hated that team. You can't hate this one. You might because of its past, but you can't hate this one because look at what this one did last night in terms of the things you care about in sports. Toughness, aggressive, you know, precision,
teamwork,
caring about your craft. We're built for the bubble even during a pandemic because we're all about work. And then you got Jimmy Lunch Buckets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what that team is. And then not only a surprise, but here comes a 20-year-old, a baby face. We're all looking at that the same way. Your wives are walking past the television and saying, what is that boy doing with those men? Well, he's breaking them over his knee. 37 points, one turnover, takes the team. The team was given to him. Jay Crowder told you major adjustments were coming. Okay, here's the team. Jimmy Butler's our number one, but he's unselfish. Tyler, go win a playoff game for us at 20 years old. We can't buy you a beer legally, but go win a playoff game for us as Tatum is shooting from 27 feet.
And he did. He had one for the ages. So now you have Riley in the finals against LeBron and the Lakers, which would be very, very attractive. I think big ratings. I think that's a series if the Heat win, Riley can retire on. My biggest fear is A, the Heat don't get there, and B, even if the Heat do get there, what if it's the Nuggets?
Please stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. I understand that the Nuggets
not
will
nearly as sexy.
This is what I'm telling you is going to happen with the Nuggets.
I don't know if Riley retires on that.
That whole segment doesn't make sense if we don't wrap it up with LeBron and we're wrapping it up with Jokic.
Yeah,
Jokic didn't build these studios.
Please stop doing that. When I'm saying I'm not talking to Stugatz, I'm talking to the Nuggets. Please stop doing that. Because I know what's going to happen here. The Nuggets are going to lose four games in a seven-game series and somehow still not be eliminated. We all know the Nuggets, like the Lakers and the Heat are going to be playing and the Nuggets are just going to come out onto the court and run around in everyone's way.
Never leaving that bubble.
They're just not. Like, Denver, please stop. Jamal, Joker, I'm pleading with you. Please stop doing that.
If this is a respect thing, we respect you.
Totally.
We'll do tomorrow's show about you, even if you lose. Please.
Denver, I told you, I said Denver on our air, and everyone thinks I'm a Miami homer. I already said these playoffs. Denver's better than Miami. Can that be your trophy?
Your words?
Please stop.
We are so looking ahead.
We do not want this loaf of bread in the middle of everything we're doing down here.
It's such a delicious, good loaf of bread, though.
I know. It's an amazing loaf of bread. And do you have any idea how much I like bread?
Why is the bread always bleeding?
Why is Dragic's face always bleeding?
I love
right?
it.
Right?
I love that it
he
is.
He gets beat up. He can't get a call.
Yeah, but it makes you feel like you're in a fight, and we're in a fight. I mean,
I don't know what the we is. You're a Knicks fan.
Oh, yeah.
You get out of here.
But yesterday, I'm watching. You guys do realize this, right? On a Dragic 3 attempt at one point, and this is hard to do, and not enough people are talking about it. Gordon Hayward fouled Goran Dragic with that push broom mustache.
I saw
it was with the mustache committed a foul.
Yeah.
That terrible, terrible mustache that makes him look like a black and white vaudevillian in a barbershop quartet. Because there are stripes on what he's wearing, but it's black and white. They might be red, but on your television it's black and white because he's straight out of the 1930s. And then he goes outside in the street and gets into a bare-knuckle fight. That's the look he's going for, correct?
In the Notre Dame leprechaun fighting stance.
I will fight you with my mustache. Here, this is the Celtics. You guys, listen to this, Boston. You came after the Miami Heat with a push-broom mustache and a guy named Gordon. A push-broom mustache. The toughness of the playoffs arrived, and the one willing to get physical was only the mustache of Gordon Hayward.
It's a mustache that wears a one piece with a belt around it to the beach.
But at least your coach is intimidating.
Pay that man his money.
We're so going to regret this if it's Nuggets Celtics.
Oh, so bad.
All of this.
Yeah.
But for now, we can talk tough.
Right? We're up 3-1.
Who's we?
Oh, yeah.
Next. We could talk tough to Brad and Gordon. We're not afraid of your mustache, Gordon. Still kind of afraid of your ability to break a zone. I know that time is an illusion during the pandemic and things are weird and upside down, but I don't understand how the weekend starts today. In this particular time spectrum, when Jaylen Brown told me that last night's game started on Sunday. Jaylen Brown told us that Wednesday's game wasn't Wednesday, that it started Sunday. Solomon Hill being in that, these are the things that are happening, right? Time is distorted, and then next thing you know, you look up and Solomon Hill's on the court looking like Frederick Douglass, and you don't know what to do with yourself. I don't know if the rest of you feel this way, but the weekend doesn't start today, no matter how much we want to dress up this Jacksonville-Miami Dolphins game. And I'm with Mike Ryan. Mike Ryan says that Thursday night football tonight would be better if we just had a three-hour preview of the Monday night game between Baltimore and Kansas City. Like, just don't don't try and tell me about the facial hair of Ryan Fitzpatrick when Bill Belichick has been laughing himself to sleep for 15 years because every team in the division is going after him with that particular guy, Ryan, trying to dethrone the Patriots with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he's got a war now with Gardner Minshew, who looks like Jacksonville, like in every way. Gardner Minshew should play these games in these jean shorts and should run around out there with a cigarette in his mouth.
Jorts?
Yes, and they're going back and forth at each other, and Chris loves this. I hate to sabotage this for you because Chris was so excited about this sound. Look, trash talk between the quarterbacks. Trash talk between the quarterbacks. But these teams...
But I think Chris is also excited about the game. He's a Dolphin fan. The Dolphins, it's a must-win game. The Jags are 1-1. This is an important game for both teams tonight.
I am punishing Chris Cody for that excitement because on Monday we've got Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, and that's what good football looks like. And no one needs to disguise their facial hair to hide that they're the quarterback of that team. Or, you know, like they don't have to wear their facial hair that way because we want to see their faces. Like Fitzpatrick, his hair is like that on his face because he doesn't want you to know it's him back there. He's trying to fool Jacksonville into thinking he was the quarterback for the Bills 15 years ago. So here's the back and forth between Gardner Minshew as we try to rub two sticks together and create a flame for Thursday night football.
I mean, you really set it
just
up.
Just Jacksonville, Miami. Here they go. They're fighting about each other's facial hair.
I think the beard is a cooler look. And I think guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beards, so they just stick with the mustache.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then here's the counter measure from the guy who looks like Jacksonville.
I think I've shown I can grow a beard with no patchy sides. But, you know, I'm have respect for my elders, you know, especially when they're much, much elder. Be respectful.
And that is wacky quarterback hijinks right there. That's as wacky as quarterbacks get talking. When is the last time you heard quarterbacks talk trash about each other? It's only when Manning and Brady... when Manning and Brady are playing, those are also white guys, are playing golf. That's when you hear it with, you know, with Mickelson and Woods.
Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes will not say a single bad thing about it. Nothing about each other.
Look, they don't need to say
anything.
He's great.
He's great. He's great. He's great.
They don't need to say anything. We're all going to tune in. I'm with Mike on this, though. Chris, do you disagree? Like, I know you're a Dolphin fan, but if I told you it's just going to be a three-hour preview of the Monday night game tonight instead of Miami-Jacksonville, would you be okay with that?
Can we just have Chiefs Rams from last season?
Just rerun
just
the game.
Rerun, rerun that.
The last greatest game of a century. In anticipation for the greatest game of the century Monday night. That's going to do a number, man.
Thursday nights, under all circumstances, are pretty dreadful football. But let's make it a pandemic, and now let's make the TV promo ad with the spinning quarterbacks. Fitzpatrick versus Minshew. Thursday night football.
I'm going to watch the loaf of bread in the Western Conference Finals.
Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are Monday night.